Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Answerable Questions with Questionable Answers, the show in which we try and answer some of life's meaningful and meaningless questions. My name is Marcus. Sarah's here.
I am indeed.
And Chris is here as well.
Howdy doody, neighbour.
Oh, dearie me. Now, ladies and gentlemen, emotional crying appears to be a uniquely human behaviour. All of us have cried, but it's not always an unwanted experience or even induced through negativity. Today, ladies and gentlemen, we're asking the question, what makes you cry? And it doesn't have to be a morbid, miserable episode, this, of course. There's enormous amount of chat to be had here.
Probably will
so,
be.
Sarah. Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm going to just immediately piss on your parade and come in with a sad one. I don't cry very often, but probably the biggest thing that does make me cry is goodbyes. I really struggle with saying goodbye, especially, like, it doesn't just have to be sort of, you know, sometimes you say goodbye to someone and you know you're never going to see them again. Like, that's really sad. Mm-hmm. But even if it's just, you know I'm not going to see someone for ages, maybe they live overseas or something. And, oh, I really struggle with goodbyes, to just hold it together.
When I do the little outro on the show, so anyway, see you next week, cheerio, do you like go off and have a little weep?
My lip is wobbling by that point, and I'm already dabbing at my eyes furiously. I really struggle with it. And, you know, I used to be really bad with it when I was a kid, and I've grown out of it a bit, but even now, just, and I can't predict when it's going to be. It's just sometimes I absolutely lose it.
How long does the gap need to be between you seeing them? Is there like a scale here where if it's a day, I'm all right, I might feel a slight pang. A week, my throat is tightening, and anything beyond that is like I'm a wreck in the corner. I'm rocking. I'm sucking my knee. I'm crying.
It's like the piri piri scale of crying.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I haven't seen you for 2 weeks.
I reckon probably a year. That's probably when I start getting a little bit like, although actually occasionally if I've kind of been back to Wales to see my parents and I leave, sometimes just randomly that'll get me, even though I would, you know, obviously COVID situation not counting, I would normally see them relatively frequently. Sometimes I'm just in that place in my mind. I'm gone. I'm on the train and I'm doing a little like,
Does it depend on how good a time you've had?
Possibly, yeah. Yeah, that could be.
So if you leave and you're not crying, your parents might think, oh, maybe we
failed.
Did we not feed her very well?
They're hopefully offering the tissues, being like, is she gonna? No. The ungrateful
I told
cow.
You we messed up the dessert. Yeah, exactly.
Is it a crying where you're like, oh, I just love them so much and I'm overcome with emotion? Or is it quite a morbid, oh no, my parents will be dead one day and I can't bear being without them?
I mean, you saying that,
that's what you're thinking now.
Exactly.
Chris, just asking.
Until you vocalized it, I didn't think it was that. But now I'm like, oh God, every time I say goodbye to someone, it might be the last time I ever speak to them again. So thanks, Chris.
Well, one day it will be.
Chris!
Yeah, but you might not realize it though.
Yeah. You will now.
Guys, you're really not helping. You're making this worse.
Or is it a cry for help, Sarah?
I don't think so. Can we move on, please?
No, well, you started this. That is fair before Sarah, that we're still here. Okay, don't get upset.
Don't leave me.
Can I jump in on that? My wife and her mum always cry when they're saying goodbye to each other. And there was one time where my mother-in-law started to well up, and then my wife welled up, and my sister was with them, and she's not even, you know, related to them apart from through marriage, and she started to cry just at the concept of everybody leaving each other. And it just was this wave of emotion, and we men who are emotionally void just stood there going, this is ridiculous, we need to get in a car and leave.
Is it ridiculous though, Chris? Were you just running away from your emotions? You were scared of them. Is that what happened?
I bottled it up, and I'm going to let it out in really unhealthy ways.
Yeah, that is the way to deal with it, ladies and gentlemen, by the way. Don't go to any kind of counsellor. They'll only just tell you that.
Yeah.
I jest, of course. But context is very important when someone cries. Very, very important. Because, as we said, you know, with regards to what you were saying, Sarah, you know, if you saw someone 1 week and then you knew you were going to see them a week later or something, and you burst out crying, you know, people would begin to judge your character quite harshly.
There'd be a few concerns, wouldn't there?
There would.
Sarah, can you imagine Marcus ever crying? I don't think I can.
Only with joy.
Really?
I can imagine like him crying with joy. Yeah.
Last minute penalty for England or something.
Now you're talking. Yeah. I'm gonna well up.
There you go. Another buttons.
crying can be. It can be a very soothing or cathartic thing, of course.
Yeah.
It can be good for you. Yeah. You know when like you've not been feeling great for a while. Often, if you do have a cry, you feel better.
Yeah. But do you know what's funny though? Looking into this. Some people, there's conflicting sort of reports and studies and so on and so forth over this, and I think the studying of sort of emotional crying is not that long in the tooth, shall we say, but some scientists think that crying over one's feelings has just no benefit at all. There is a large school of thought that says actually if you look into these studies, it actually makes you feel worse. It has no real benefit. And Charles Darwin, the guy who used to be on the back of British pound notes, £10 notes.
That's what he was best known for, wasn't it?
I think that's exactly what he's famous for. I think he went to the Galapagos Islands once, as did I. He once said that emotional tears were purposeless.
He obviously wasn't held tightly as a baby, was he?
But it is something that's stumped many scientists over the years as to why human beings cry, because there are functions to crying, you know, to kind of clear out your eyes or to you need to keep your eyes a little bit moist and that kind of thing. But yeah, the emotional tears.
I love a good cry.
Do you?
Oh, I love a good cry on a regular. I think every couple of months. I really don't mind.
That's not regular.
It is for a bloke. That's regular.
Yeah, for a guy to even admit that, I'll be admitted.
Let it out, boys. Let it out.
Last time I cried was 1992. Yeah. No, I'm only joking. Don't set me off. Go on, Chris. Something that makes you cry then.
I remember being on an away day with my work at the UN once, and they got us to do this thing where we'd stare into each other's eyes. And it was fascinating. It set loads of people off. And actually thinking about it, and I started to do some more research into this before the show, and it's quite a known phenomena, is if you stare into people's eyes, it can really set you off crying. And I remember at this when my baby boy was a newborn baby boy, he was just staring, and I stared back, and I just was in absolute floods of tears. There was no thoughts; it was just an emotion, and it ruined me. It was very, very emotional. And so I don't know, there's something quite deeply soul connecting about staring to someone's eyes. It's like quite uncomfortable, isn't it? Like, you know, quite vulnerable. And so I think that's quite a known thing. Actually, you stare into someone's eyes for a while, then you start to cry. And it made me a little bit worried about me always having my face stuck in my phone, actually, because it started to highlight the importance of eye contact.
That is interesting. Yeah, because what was that sort of slightly cheesy quote that somebody once said of the eyes are sort of the porthole to the soul or something?
I think that's a Bible reference. So if you want to call that
really?
I don't know.
It's the window to the soul, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's the window to the soul.
Porthole. Yeah. You're still thinking about the Titanic.
Yeah. I think I am. which always, well, that film, my goodness.
Yeah.
But something very specific that I would... There's two things I would bring to the table that I would challenge anybody to watch. There's a film with Nicole Kidman called Lion, which I would recommend. It was a 2016 film.
Dev Patel, was it as well?
Yes, Dev Patel. That's right. I couldn't remember his name. Yeah, he's brilliant. You got him. And Nicole Kidman was the sort of the most well-known actor in it. But it's a plot about a young lad. It's the true story of how a young lad in India gets separated from his family, and then he's adopted by, I think they're Australian parents. So Nicole Kidman plays his adopted mother, plays his stepmother, But that I would watch that film because it's brilliant. It's not one of those ones where you think, oh, you cry and you think, what the hell was that all about? It really is quite something. And then the other thing, which is a lot more specific than that, and Chris, you may have seen this footage. It's from a number of years ago when the great Ian Wright was a footballer, and Ian Wright goes, he's at Highbury, he's at Arsenal's old stadium when they played at Highbury. And he's talking about his old school teacher, Mr. Pigden.
Have you seen this? Sarah? Even I've seen this one. Oh my God, this did get me going.
Yeah, it does. Like, I challenge anybody to watch that clip and not feel at least somewhat moved to tears. And he's talking about this old school teacher he had, who essentially became a very influential older male figure in his life, because his father, in his own words, in Ian Wright's own words, wasn't a very nice man. Mm. And how Mr. Pigden sort of really taught him to play football and was so utterly crucial in his development as a footballer, but as a human being, all this kind of stuff. And he's talking about Mr. Pigden, and he says to the camera, oh yeah, but he died years ago. And as he's talking, Mr. Pigden comes into shot, and obviously the people who arranged the documentary got him to speak. And Ian Wright just looks up and goes, oh, Mr. Pigden, I thought you were dead, you know. And Mr. Pigden sort of has a bit of a chuckle and goes, well, I don't think I am, mate, or something like that, you know. And Ian Wright just sort of starts crying. But it is one of the most beautiful moments you'll ever see on camera, I would go
far to
say.
It's so good.
The Netflix documentary, or not documentary, the Netflix dramatization, When They See Us. Do you remember watching that one about the five young lads who were wrongfully convicted for assaulting and raping a jogger? In New York, I think it's back in the late 70s.
I do know the one you mean,
My gosh. I started watching the first episode and I couldn't actually get... I got halfway through and was ruined because I knew the story and I had to stop it. And I actually can't watch the rest of it because I just find it so, so gut-wrenchingly sad that that happens to people. And I know that, you know, it's not that I want to be ignorant to these issues, but it's definitely a case of sometimes you're just not ready to see or watch things. And I found that one pretty devastating, actually, I think within the last few months of trying to watch something. And I just couldn't. I had to stop it. And there's not many things that really get me that badly, but that was one where I just couldn't stop crying. I think because I knew what was coming. It was just horrendous.
Mm. I actually had a very similar response, Chris. I didn't cry, but I really struggled to keep watching it. I think because it's sort of the injustice of it, and you're almost kind of shouting at the screen and being like, how can this happen? What is going on? And it's interesting, actually, one of the other things I was going to say that does sometimes make me cry is kind of frustration and a sense of injustice and a sense of kind of powerlessness. You know, when you're in a situation where you can't do anything, you can't fix something, and people are possibly going to get hurt, and that kind of feeling of powerlessness and frustration sometimes I find quite overwhelming. And that is something that does sometimes make me cry, actually.
I may have mentioned him on the pod before, but a guy called Simon Reeve, who does really good travel documentaries for the BBC. And he was in Greece, I think, and this would have been a few years ago. And he was saying that he was talking about, it was at the beginning of the refugee crisis of Syrian refugees and from other parts of the world, getting in boats and so on and traveling across that piece of water from Turkey to Greece and all this. And he was sort of walking along saying, this is a place where it happens. And he was explaining the situation. And then suddenly he goes, oh my goodness, there's some people on the boat, they're coming. And the camera pans over and there is a group of people who he chatted to them, and they were from Syria. And as he's talking about this situation, it is literally unfolding in front of his eyes. Mm. And you get a load of people who get off the boat, you know, some dodgy little rubber dinghy, which looks unsafe. And they got off and they start walking, and he talks to one or two of them who speak a bit of English. And he just wells up, like he's looking. And I think that's it, Chris. When you look at someone in the eye, see, when you see people en masse and you see it on the news, but you see this sort of group of people, they become less human, of course, you know, we know this. But when you look at them in the eyes, you see that person, you hear that story, you have that human connection, you go, you're just actually another person just like me. Yeah. It does something to you. And he couldn't speak. He was that kind of emotional about it, which was fascinating to see, because this is a guy who's seen so many things. Used to do a lot of investigative journalism on terrorism and also have been to war-torn areas and blah, 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 blah. But there's something about that, you know. I mean, one theory about why we cry is that tears trigger social bonding and human connection. And it goes back to, because when animals, this is a sort of a theory and some thinking about this, but when animals are born, a lot of animals are almost like fully formed, whereas human beings are born vulnerable. They're not able to deal with anything on their own. And despite us getting physically and emotional more capable as we grow older, we still experience the odd bout of helplessness, which is what you were just saying, Sarah, I think about, you know, injustice and whatnot. You feel helplessness. The situation. Now, there's a emotion researcher and professor of psychology in the US called wonderfully named Jonathan Rottenberg. And old Rotters has said about this, crying signals to yourself and other people that there's some important problem that is at least temporarily beyond your ability to cope. It's very much it very much is an outgrowth of where crying originally comes from. So he's saying that the reason why we do this is because it goes back to when you're a little baby where you need to cry to get attention or to this, that, and the other. So that's Rottenberg's theory for you or his research.
That's interesting. When I was little, I think I said it on a previous podcast we did on Does Anything on Screen Make You Emotional? I was incredibly sensitive as a kid, really, really, really sensitive. And it is now interesting having a child of my own and starting to be aware of their formation from such early days. And it's that whole, the attachment theory stuff that's out there. And a mutual good friend of ours runs a charity doing that actually out of your church, Marcus. And it's really interesting stuff. And again, there's this link to eye contact, all that stuff on our emotional bonding and how important it is to look people in the eyes when you're talking, especially babies. I think it's definitely in the first 1,001 days. It helps map out our brain. So 80% of our brain is mapped out in the first 3 years. So it's interesting now, you look back on your own life and you're like, oh, did I have the attention I needed when I was a kid? Or was I just born sensitive? Like, I think there's a thing there as well that everyone's born quite unique, I think. A good friend of ours has got three little girls. They're all under six. And he's like, we did the same thing with all of them. And they've got such different characters. So there's this interesting thing, is it? This nurture nature debate anyway. Mm-hmm. But I just remember being a kid and wanting to cry when an adult spoke to me. I was very, aww, very sensitive. I know.
Blimey.
Yeah. Oh, Chris. Yeah.
I think, do you know one thing that, because we're talking about more sort of sadder emotions here, but cry, I find that if I see something from the past that resonates with me, or I remember, it can be sort of not crying in a kind of blubbery sense or anything, but there might just be a little tear comes to my eye. Mm. I think so. For example, for me, would see in his pomp doing something brilliant, Paul Gascoigne playing football. And I look at that I know it sounds really, but then I think of the man today and what a shadow of himself he is. But it's not just that. It can be something that I thought was bloody excellent or, I don't know, something that I maybe find something quite awe-inspiring or something. They can just, you just go, wow. It's almost like, you know, that feeling of I'm in awe of it or something brilliant, and it's like a little just tiny tear appears in the corner of your eye and you go, oh yeah, that's the stuff.
Is it kind of just overwhelming emotion as opposed to kind of specifically sadness? Or
yeah, it's not sadness, it's not a kind of, oh, I remember those days, weren't they great, or nothing like that. I think it is that kind of overwhelming kind of, oh yeah, that, come on, more of this. You know. Well, it's interesting. There's when I was researching this, a national newspaper had the top 10 things we secretly cry over, even if we don't admit it.
Oh, go on.
Okay, now I'll repeat that: 10 things we secretly cry over, even if we don't admit it. Okay. Secretly cry over. Number one: death of a loved one.
Oh, I was so embarrassed. Yeah. I didn't want to tell anyone. I was upset about that.
Such a secret, no one knew. It's weekend at Bernie's, isn't it?
I hate to admit it, all right? But at my mother's funeral. Do you know what I mean? Who says that? Absolute nonsense. Anyway.
That's ridiculous. Right, next.
Anyway, moving on. Number two, when you leave home for the first time.
I was so excited.
Well, yeah.
I was just like, yeah, let me at him. University, well, yeah. Here I come.
Let me at him. I did. Do you know what? I never cried when I left home when I went to university was the first time for me. But when my parents and my brother and sister came to visit me about a week into it, I remember saying cheerio to them. I got slightly emotional, which was quite weird. Because I think it, maybe if it was just my mum and dad, but I think it was like, there's the family. I've always been a part of that. And now they're going off. And
they're leaving without you.
Yeah.
And all I've got in the fridge is a Dairy Lee slice to live on for the next week.
Well, when I remembered that, the tears quickly dropped. Yeah. Number three, breakups. I think that's an obvious one.
Yeah.
Again, who's embarrassed to be like, oh, going through a breakup. Don't tell anyone I'm upset.
Guys might be, I think. I think chaps would be a bit. Yeah. There was a brilliant meme I saw a while ago, and it was kind of in four squares. And the first square was the guy after the breakup, and he's in the pub with his mates laughing. And then the girl after the breakup, and she was with her friends crying. And then, like, it said something like 3 months later, and the guy is then in floods of tears and crying, and she's actually sorted herself out, recovered, and got on with her life, because the men won't want to admit it at the start that they're actually upset by the breakup.
That's right.
A meme. So it's not science. Like Marcus leads us each episode.
How dare you? Number four, a really sad moment in a film or TV. We sort of talked about
absolutely.
That. But again, context is crucial. Mm. I remember genuinely thinking less of a friend of mine when a group of us went to watch. Why we went? I think I went thinking, oh, this is going to be a good war film because I'm a bloody bloke. We went to watch years ago, Pearl Harbor cinema. He cried. He blubbed like
a girl. Of course he did.
Because of how bad Ben Affleck was.
No, because
a terrible film, but I howled like a baby.
Did you?
Yeah, well, that's fine.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, I was like 11 at the time. So,
yeah. You're an 11-year-old girl at the risk of me sounding a bit sexist. Whereas Chris, I mean, you know, we rescinded his membership of the Man Club, that guy.
Yeah.
Because that's just piss poor, isn't it?
Yeah. Mustafa's death on Lion King is quite emotional.
Oh, spoilers. My goodness. Sorry, yeah. That still gets me now.
Yeah.
I was watching it with a kid I was babysitting a few years ago, and he was like, fine. He was just like, oh, that's a bit sad. And I'm there like choking back the tears.
I'm not crying. You're crying.
I'm fine. You're fine. Are you okay? Are you all right?
What about My Girl with Macaulay Culkin?
Yeah.
I haven't seen that.
No, don't watch it.
Really?
Number five, when the trailer of that film comes out that you're really looking forward to.
No.
What? No.
See, so here's another thing when I'm quite like, when I'm in awe, the first what would it have been, episode 7, the first of the latest Star Wars films when it came out, which was probably about 4 years ago, something like that, 3 or 4 or whenever it was, The Force Reawakens, I think it was. I mean, I was a Star Wars fan when I was a kid. I'm not one of those kind of, you know, obsessed or anything, but when I sat in the cinema and the music came on, you know, all that business, I was like, oh, here we go. And there's this little tiny tear. I was like, this is it. This is what you want. Bottle this and give me a big pint of it. Number six, when you fell over and hurt yourself as a kid.
Yeah, again,
it's
that's
poor,
not
isn't
a
it?
Secret, is it? It's like, oh, I've hurt myself and I'm 7. I'm crying. Don't tell anybody.
Whoever wrote this was on work experience, weren't they? And they have very little
they
idea.
They were actually a 7-year-old.
Yeah.
There's a reason why I said a national newspaper and I didn't name it. Number seven, when you're really tired. Chris, do you bawl when you're really tired?
No, I get snappy.
You get snappy.
Yeah, I get
but
a bit
emotion,
snappy.
There's some sort of emotion.
Yeah, but it won't come out. My wife would cry when she's tired.
Yeah.
Yeah. But she's nicer than I am. So she just cries because she's upset and tired. That's why I just get a bit of a, not the nicest version of me.
Sarah, number eight, when you're drunk.
Oh, yeah, obviously. Of course.
I love the way that, Sarah, one for you.
when I used to work in an office, there was a girl in there who, whenever we'd have office socials, as one of the lads always used to say, oh, it's about time that such and such should start crying and questioning her life decisions and her career decision and all the rest of it. It used to happen every time.
That's quite a common one, though. I do know people who are like that. And the sad thing is, I think it's probably because they do bottle up their emotions, and it's the only time they come out.
I agree.
But just don't. And it's when it's a social. Number nine, when your team wins. I think we spoke about this, didn't we, on one of our very early episodes of Answerable Questions, which was something along the lines of what gets you emotional on screen. And I talked a lot about England beating Colombia on penalties and all this kind of stuff. So I get that one. I think that's... And then at number 10, Chris, seeing your child for the first time.
Yeah, again, it's not a secret, is it? Or something you're ashamed of? It's like, yeah, it just is.
You've admitted seeing your child for the first time is emotional.
Didn't I say I met him? And you're like, that's weird that you said when you met your child.
Yeah, well, I suppose it's accurate, isn't it?
I didn't cry when I first saw him. It was later on when he...
Yeah, but you're a hard man, though.
Yeah, I was just relieved he was all healthy and that sort of thing. And also relieved my wife is through... the pain of childbirth whilst I sat there eating crisps thinking, oh, this is all right. It's not too bad, is it? No. I don't want people to complain about.
Well, I tell you something, if you don't cry, then you're in good company, perhaps for different reasons. Nelson Mandela couldn't cry.
Was he physically unable to?
His tear ducts had been damaged after years of smashing up limestone rocks on Robben Island when he was imprisoned. And the alkaline from the stone and all the grit and everything over time dried his tear ducts out.
That is fascinating. Incredible.
Do you think that affects your emotions, or it's just like you are kind of crying, but nothing comes out?
Yeah, I mean, this is a condition as well. Very few people have it, but I don't think it would affect your emotions, but it's just the way that I suppose you would display them. Perhaps I don't know. I've never met anybody who. Has suffered from that.
Second mention for Mandela this season.
Yes, indeed. Indeed. So, yeah, I mean, I do find it quite fascinating, that. So I think... Have you ever made yourself cry, like putting on sad music or a sad film or looking at old photos or something, thinking, come on, I need to get this out or something?
Oh,
I've never done that myself.
I definitely, so if I know, you know, like I was saying earlier, like I've not been feeling good for a while and it's kind of building up a bit. Sometimes I will like listen to some sad music almost as like a emotional laxative.
Wonderfully.
Love it.
You know, listen to a bit of like sad mopey indie, get it out. Oh, don't I feel better now?
Anything particular?
I'm not sure about recently. It used to be a bit of Bon Iver.
Yeah, I can
sort
see
you out a treat if you haven't cried in a while.
No, Avril Lavigne. What was...
Not Avril. Don't...
No, not anymore.
Or
not,
Michelle, not whatever her real name is.
Yeah, Melissa.
Damien Rice, who sung Cannonball.
Yeah.
That album that he brought out years ago was something like voted your best album to listen to when you're going through a breakup or something. And I thought to myself, if you were Damien Rice, would you be happy with that?
Oh, I don't know. I think because you're having a profound effect on people's emotions. That's what you're looking for as an artist, isn't
maybe
it?
If he wrote it because of a breakup, he would be like, well, yes, people have engaged with the same emotion.
Feel my pain.
Yeah, I see. I mean, I suppose he's a folk artist, so it's not going to be the most upbeat. If that was me, I'd think to myself, I need to change my style here.
Yeah. I had the song I Was Broken by Marcus Foster sang at my wedding, and that always gets me. Ladies and gentlemen, you should check that one out on YouTube. And Marcus Foster, always good to have a Marcus in there, isn't there, Marcus?
I wasn't at your wedding, so yeah.
No,
at least one of us was. Well, I'd like to finish by bringing a little quote to the table from Ad Vingerhoots, a professor at Tilburg University in the Netherlands. Described as the world's foremost expert on crying, he released a book in 2013 called Why Only Humans Weep. And he said, tears are of extreme relevance for human nature. We cry because we need other people. So Darwin was totally wrong. Go on, big man.
No.
So there you are, ladies and gentlemen. Blub away, damn you. Hopefully not off the back of listening to this episode. Hopefully it brought you some sort of joy. But we've appreciated you listening to this episode of Answerable Questions with Questionable Answers. Do email us, of course. We said, you know, if there's any topics you want us to cover, get in touch with us. show@aqqapod.com and on social media @aqqapod. There we are, gang. Thank you very much, Sarah.
Thanks.
Thank you very much, Chris.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. We'll see you next week.